Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for December the 2nd. In the year of our Lord, 2022. This is Hour 1 of 2, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. We use the Blueprint for Liberty, the Constitution for the United States of America, as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. You also know we reject revolution and stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. By the way, it is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled, we're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time Friday. You got to dig that as well. A quick recap of yesterday's show. We had on Brian Rust and Kelly Finnegan talking about honest money as always, RustCreditGift.com. We talked about shame, Milo Yiannopoulos, or whatever the guy's name is, Milo Yiannopoulos, or whatever his name is. Anyway, he arranged the dinner between Kanye West and Donald Trump. He said to cause trouble. What a disgrace. This Nicholas J. Fuentes guy was there. He's half Mexican. They claim he's a white supremacist. Look, they're trying to just attack Donald Trump on all kinds of issues under the sun. It's nothing but a disaster. The fact is, folks, we're all God's children. Let's try to treat each other that way. This racist idea is a waste of time. Yes, there's bad racists out there. Shame on all of them. We need to stand for God, family, and country and realize we are the people of Almighty God with a godly heritage, every one of us, regardless of skin color. We talked about this former crypto billionaire and Democratic Party mega donor, Sam Bankman Fry, whatever the guy's name is. Anyway, bottom line is he created a huge scandal, donated tons of money, over $37 million to the Republicans and the Democrats. He told crypto YouTuber Tiffany Fong that he says, quote, all my Republican donations were, quote, dark money because reporters freak the blank out if you donate to a Republican or a conservative cause. And so he said, I don't want the blowback from those people. So I was the third largest Republican donor, he claims. And he just says, hey, we got to do it dark money style. We were able to circumvent a lot of the rules there with some loopholes. And so you'll never even know who he donated to, folks. But George Soros contributed over $128 million to Democrat people as well. And if that's not election fraud, I don't know what is. They've got limits on how much you and I can donate, but these guys can use exploited dark holes and everything else and donate just millions and millions and millions of dollars and pervert the agenda. Anyway, before this collapse, this whacked out Sam Friedman guy or whatever was saying that he was going to donate $1 billion to campaigns. So I guess, you know, the saying you can buy anything in this world with money is true as all get out, folks. Filthy lucre. Corrupts absolutely. Criminal IRS forks over Donald's tax returns. If that can happen to the president, former president of the United States, it can happen to anybody. So they tell you your data is safe. The IRS is a criminal enterprise, ladies and gentlemen, and your data can go anywhere. Proof is in the pudding, huh? Hour two, we had Mary Toko with us, well-known vaccine researcher, marytoko.com, to learn more about her. Mary's considered an expert on the dangers of vaccines. And we talked about this incredible Dr. Amanda Dawn Vollmer. And she has a great new quote buzzword. It's called quaxines. Hey, folks, don't take the quaxines is what she says. I thought it was pretty good. We also talked about the House Republicans sent a letter to the NIH, or National Institutes of Health, demanding that they don't destroy any materials regarding COVID and the origins thereof. They want to get to the bottom of it. But, folks, the Committee on Energy and Commerce already sent 12 letters, and they've largely been ignored. Now the 12 letters have gone largely unanswered. But now they're saying, hey, you got to respond to this immediately. And my response is, or else what? They're not going to respond. You got criminal government enterprises, government sectors that are just flat out rogue and crazy and out of control. And they don't give a rip what Congress says, thinks, believes, or does. They've been given unlimited carte blanche funding, and they simply make up their own regulations, and they thumb their nose at the lawmakers every day of the week. And until we shut these people down flat out and get rid of these unconstitutional agencies, you could just expect it to get worse. Write it down. Remember who told you as bluntly and as clearly and as directly as anybody can possibly tell you. New York court strikes down the COVID vaccine mandate. That's great news. We must take America back. We talked about this incredible new video, Steve Voss, the official music video. It's an old song, but he's updated it. It's really good. Joseph Farah wrote about that and said, hey, we need to get that song to Donald Trump and have that be his campaign song for 2024. Sadly, there's a price for doing what Steve did, that stand up and do what's right. But you know what? It's time for all of us, ladies and gentlemen, to take a stand. As Steve Voss did, not just in the voting booths, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about political soapboxes. We're talking about in social media posts. We're talking about behind the cultural barricades where most of the real struggle and decisions for our nation's future and liberty really, where those battles are really waged, folks. We need to get talented, gifted, and freedom-loving guerrilla fighters, says Joseph Farah, in place to really stand for liberty. Many Republican independent voters are moving, they say, to areas where they're more, in areas where their views are more accepted or like-minded, says a new poll. So, you know what? That's good. People are voting with their feet, moving with their agenda. The founding fathers gave all. Now other people are just moving, but a lot of people are moving to places where they believe that their values are more respected. The San Francisco Police Department has proposed authorizing robots to use deadly force now. Yeah, the city's police department currently has 17 remotely operated robots. One of them can hold weapons, and some of them can load shotgun shells and everything else. Tiffany Moyer, she leads work on police misconduct and conduct, I should say, police misconduct and militarization. And she's at the Lawyers Committee for the Civil Rights of the San Francisco Bay Area. She says, you know what, debating this, when we talk about killer robots and acting like this is normal, we have lost our minds. This is not normal. We are living in a dystopian future where we debate whether this thing's normal or not. We are off our rockers crazy. Anyway, she says, look, these robots are literally going to assassinate citizens without trial, jury, or judge or anything else. Just judge, jury, and executioner, robot style, you're dead. This is insane, she says. Boy, howdy, is she right. With that, Dr. Bradley, welcome back, sir. What do you say to all that?
Well, as our good friend Kurt used to say, besides that, it's not too bad, or something like that.
Other than that's not so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
No, you've got a plethora of items that probably deserve commentary and everything else like that. I think that these issues are certainly not the only issues, and they're certainly not the sum and substance of what's wrong in each of those areas. There's depth and breadth to each of those. The assassinating robots, I mean, think of the drones that are being used. I mean, talk about heartless and immoral and pinpoint accuracy and all that kind of stuff. Drones are, and they have been used for years now, and with great effect in assassinations of political enemies, the idea of being able to use them and deploy them against American citizens. I mean, what's next? And you talk about the financial situations that's going on, the stonewalling, the unconstitutional different bodies of alphabet soup, I call them. Here's one. I mean, I don't want to completely change the subject, but the Secretary of Health and Human Services is saying we need to plan on getting vaxxed every 2 months. Now, of course, Health and Human Services is something that...
Ain't that awesome?
Yeah, I mean,
ahead and just take the jab and destroy your immune system anytime you want, buddy.
Every 2 months now, man. I mean, what vaccine... I mean, what insanity has settled over us?
I got to do a shot every day. Why wait between shots?
Well, that's because it would make a lot more money for the pharma companies.
And I know they should do it every day, though, don't you think?
Maybe so. It's kind of like taking a diabetic shot. I mean, whatever. So, no, I just feel like the insanity has settled in. And you talk about these bazillions of dollars that are being donated by trillionaires or whatever they are now. And I said, there really is a solution. First of all, let me just comment on the what they created, you know, the federal election laws that have gone into effect. And having run for office a number of times and had to abide by those bizarre, completely inane federal election laws, there really are, I guess I would call it, incumbent protection acts. And they have all sorts of peripheral rules about how you've got to shut down debate on certain things so far from the election. They've got rules about what regular folks like you and I can give and how carefully that has to be tracked. And I've always said, anything anybody can create, somebody else can create a workaround. I mean, I don't care if it's a bunker that you're building to protect you and yourself or family or wherever you are, or if it's federal election laws, there's going to be somebody that creates a workaround. And that's exactly what the big dollar guys have done. And so little guys, the ones that whose voice, you know, we the people, you know, are out there, have had our voice squelched. While the big guys with their super PACs and everything like that, they can elect anybody they want with it. But there's a solution, though, by the way. Maybe we can talk about that when we get back.
Roger that. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live with Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, in seconds on your radio.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Scott Bradley with us. We're talking about all kind of things, man. Killer assassination robots considered in San Francisco police departments and Oakland police departments in California. But right on through to money fiascos and everything else. But there are solutions, Dr. Bradley.
Well, you know, you mentioned this thing about you know, the huge donations that are being made by bazillionaires and their intent to buy elections and so on and so forth. And unquestionably, it's happening. And Utah modified, for example, their candidate selection process to make certain that was alive and well in Utah. And they've done this all over the nation. And then you find these guys with more money than you can count that are sending hundreds of millions of dollars out to influence elections, not to just influence, to buy them. And we found a lot of them have bought elections in places like California, for example, where their prosecuting attorneys and attorney generals and things like that are truly setting up an anarchical kind of situation where crime does pay and you're not protecting the real people and issuing justice and everything else like that. All this stuff is a fact of life. But there is a solution. And the federal election laws are a good example of a bad example of what does not work. They said, oh, yeah, we're gonna clean this up. Oh, they said that with the Federal Reserve. Oh, we're going to create a non-banker-driven financial system, which is exactly what it was. The USA Patriot Act has nothing to do with patriotism. It has to do with tyranny. All of these laws and approaches that they talk about, generally, their intention is the antithesis of what people call them. You know, like, Inflation Reduction Act or Respect for Marriage Act. The antithesis of everything that we hold dear. So you can't put your eggs in that basket or chickens that haven't hatched or whatever you want to call it. That's not where these things are. The real answer is in we the people. And that's the way it's always been. And we the people have absolutely got to engage ourselves in the daily affairs of running this nation. And it's been said the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. And it's an interesting, I don't know how you'd play the genesis of that out, but let's just go to one that people might be aware of is Andy Jackson in his farewell address. He reminded the people the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. We have stopped being vigilant. We have stopped even knowing the slightest, most infinitely small principles of liberty. These fundamental principles have been set aside because Americans have become complacent and complicit. We're more interested in the bread and circuses that are out there from all the different sources that we can get them, and we're unwilling to engage ourselves in the preservation of the greatness of this nation and the liberty that God granted us at such great cost. And so I would say what needs to happen is we the people need to reengage. Okay, now we could talk about dozens of different ways we could, and maybe 4 points we might do to do that. But the point of the matter, first of all, is that Americans have basically quit caring and understanding about these things, and unless and until we start that again, we're not going to be able to restore it.
Part of the problem is the reason they've quit caring is because they feel like they can't make a difference. I mean, look at Arizona. They literally had 31% of their voting machines and tabulators broke, dozens, hundreds, thousands, of voters disenfranchised. And they basically say, look, we don't want to certify the elections, some of the leaders say. And they say, you better or you'll be arrested. So they certify under duress. Okay, that's in Arizona. Meanwhile, the mainstream press lies and says, you know what, you guys claim vote election fraud without evidence. And then I come back and say, okay, I don't know if forcing people to certify votes against their better judgment, against their wills, under threat of arrest, I don't know if you call that election fraud, but I do, when you know that many voters were disenfranchised. Then on top of that, you find out George Soros pops $128 million in. You find out this whacked out guy that literally had his whole quote digital currency or whatever you want to call this thing, crypto whatever, fail, and everybody gets ripped off, and he just smiles and goes, hey man, I donated to everybody and I exploited the law and I used dark money because I didn't want to take the beating from the mainstream goons that attacked me. So that's what I did there, and no one seems to care. And then Mark Zuckerberg puts $400 million into elections and to the Democratic Party, and then we have 2,000 mules saying, hey, there's a good likelihood this is where the money went. And then they mock us and laugh and say, without evidence. And then we say, yeah, this Eugene, you guys, storing our election data on communist Chinese servers accessible to the communist Chinese party against the law. And then they go and arrest the guy, and then they release the guy, and then they arrest Catherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips, and then they put up this glass partition so they can watch Catherine get undressed while she takes a shower or goes to the restroom or whatever else, and this egregious abuse happens, and then we get a hold of local sheriffs and others that help stop these abuses, and then they go, hey, you're doing all this without any evidence. And I'm going, Have you guys lost your mind? But again, until Americans back the new media taking center stage, most folks don't even know what's going on. They don't even really realize the battles. If you're not in Arizona and if you haven't been disenfranchised, you're going, all that election fraud stuff is crazy. It isn't really real. But yet Americans instinctively and intuitively know there's serious, serious, serious problems. That's why when polled, 80%+ of them say, hey, man, America's off track and going the wrong way. Meanwhile, they just literally implement tyranny everywhere, it seems to me. Okay, so you look at this quick story, Dr. Bradley. Biden will create a new national monument in Nevada that would make nearly 500,000 acres off limits to economic development. Even though the move will even cut off green energy projects and their access to electricity lines, etc. So we hear that a couple of days ago, and then we hear this. Joe vows protection, but not, quote, monument status for sacred land. He stopped short of making it mandatory or making it a designated, rather than designating it a national monument, he kind of backed off that. But he still creates this, whatever vowing protection is, right? But not monument status. They call it sacred land. They say he stopped short of designating it. They call it the ecologically and cultural important region, also known as, I don't know how you say this, Abiqua Aim, as a, quote, national monument. So this is Indian lands. This is all debatable, but now he doesn't make it a, quote, monument, but it's got, what, protection status. I don't even know what that all means. All of it outside of the scope of the Constitution, and nobody cares. The Indians have wanted this for a long time for their sacred grounds, the government wanting it to steal the land for the American people. But again, you expect prices to raise in the West for homes. Hey, nobody can get any land. It's all designated government land by, in my opinion, criminal activity. We just see this happening. Even yesterday, or 2 days ago, I guess it was on Wednesday, when he made this, quote, designation. It's out of control, doctor.
Well, Sam, I don't even know how you want me to address this. I mean, you leave subjects so fast. I mean, think about this. I know this is not your intent. I know it's not, because I know you...
Hold on, I don't leave the subject fast. I set up the tee, and you're supposed to hit the ball.
No. There's 15 subjects we've covered in the last dialogue. But here's the deal. I know it's not your intent.
Actually, here's what we did. We summarized 15 subjects. We talked about them for two hours yesterday.
Hey, Sam, let me talk for just a second. I'm trying to pick you up off the floor. Now, hear me. I know your intent is to give hope to Americans. I know it is.
Yes.
Because I know you. Okay, so let's just take that subject a little bit and say, we have such a litany of owing it awfuls. If all we ever played that was, we would lose hope. People would say, well, to hell with it. There's no hope. I'm not going to vote anymore.
For sure.
I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to participate. I'm going to bunker up and hunker down. And honestly and truthfully, the recognition is that the foundation is here. We can return to it. And when I say Americans have got to reengage, they've got to reengage. And if, in fact, elections are being stolen, we've got to engage in correcting the methodology by which they're doing that. You can't let your state say, we're going to do all the things that got the 2020 election set up to be stolen. You got to go back to in-person voting on the election day with ID being shown within your own community, you showing up in front of people that know you, being able to sign in, make your vote, and set it. Okay, that's one thing. We've got to get engaged and change those. These huge grasps of federal land that they're just basically confiscating, all of that is Marxist to the core. And the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, is very specific about how much land the federal government can hold unless delegated by the states. 64,000 acres, that's all the federal government has authorized in the Constitution. These kinds of things people have got to become aware of, and they've got to start responding. Now, there's tons more to say, but we'll come back with four things you can do if you want.
Yeah, we got a whole lot for 2 hours, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk about it in seconds on your radio. Listen to the wind blow.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
France's President Macron has been in Washington for a couple of days. It's his second visit to the United States since taking office in 2017. At a fireside chat, the French leader describes what is in his talks with President Biden.
We will discuss climate change and biodiversity and the common actions in this field, health, and a lot of global topics where our alliance is so critical.
There may have been a breakthrough on a mystery unsolved since 1937. Katie Lewis in our Midwest Bureau explains.
Penn State scientists say they've made a breakthrough in the mysterious disappearance of legendary aviator Amelia Earhart. Earhart and her navigator disappeared without a trace over the Pacific Ocean in 1937 during her attempt to become the first woman to fly around the world. In 1991, an aluminum panel was found on an island north of Samoa that some believe came from Earhart's plane. Now researchers at Penn State University say they've used advanced imaging techniques to reveal hidden letters and numbers on the panel, which could help confirm that Earhart had landed on the island.
President Obama campaigned in Atlanta Thursday for Senator Raphael Warnock. Barack told the crowd that they had to go out and do it one more time. Gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams also counted on President Obama to get elected. She lost as Governor Brian Kemp was reelected. Warnock is facing a strong challenge from Republican Herschel Walker. The runoff election is scheduled for December 6th. The U.S. Army awarded Raytheon Missiles and Defense a contract worth roughly $1.2 billion. The deal is for them to deliver six National Advanced Surface-to-Air Missile System batteries for Ukraine. December 2nd is World Computer Literacy Day. Lend a helping hand to those non-geeks. USA Radio News.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-444-9336. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-444-9336. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-444-9336. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-444-9336. 800-444-9336.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, back with you live on your radio. Dr. Scott Bradley's with me. He had to step away really quick. He'll be right back. But I want you all to understand, you know, we don't just shotgun these topics. I agree we can't talk about every one of them for hours. But what we do, just so everybody understands, is we talk about topics in detail. And it might not be in as detail as some may want, but it's way more detailed than the mainstream press. I'll tell you that right now. And when we talk about these different issues so boldly, so clearly, etc., when we discuss these things, we provide solutions. And so when Dr. Bradley hears these 15 topics, he's getting the summary of the last 2 hours of radio. And then what my hope is when he gets that summary is he picks out the topic that he thinks is the most critical. If I were to look at the list that I went over before we put Dr. Bradley on, I would say these assassination robots are the biggest deal. Can you believe we're discussing this in the most liberal cities of our nation right now? They're going to put in place kill robots that can literally assassinate you and play judge, jury, and executioner. And since it's a robot, then they will have no accountability or responsibility whatsoever, because they'll be able to say, look, I'm sorry, the robot just, I mean, the thing went berserk. Or, you know what, it had misinformation and took action. And then they're going to basically, in court, if you ever try to, you know, create accountability for the cops or anybody else in this, they're going to have even a buffer. You know what, the robot did it. I'm so sorry, it wasn't our intention. The thing just kind of went berserk. Or, you know, we're getting these situations where accountability is really the critical issue. So I want to highlight these issues because I believe that you're either, one, not hearing these issues in the mainstream press, and or two, if you are hearing them, you're certainly not getting the take that we would provide on a given story, that's for sure. So, Dr. Bradley, that's kind of the intent. We talked about those issues for the last 2 hours yesterday with Brian Rust, with Kelly Finnegan, with other guests, etc. Mary Toko was with us as well. And then we kind of summarized them today so that if people are interested in yesterday's show, they get a kind of a teaser to go back and find that show and listen to the whole thing. They also then have kind of your commentary on what you believe percolates to the top as well, Dr. Bradley.
Well, here's the deal. And it started, you know, everything I said before the break, I think applies in every one of these cases also. And let's just take your drone robot story. We the people can say, no, you don't. You do not authorize this. We are going to create law that says that this is unauthorized behavior. If it is ever used, the organization that used it will be held responsible to the highest level. Create, just basically shut it down. I mean, we do not have to put up with this bizarre, unconstitutional, illegal activity that gives people distance. And I'll take it even farther. And I can use Utah's idiot, stupid legislature actions taken in spring of 2020, where they gave immunity to everybody that had anything to do with a COVID response. Everybody, from the governor down to the janitor. Anybody did anything on COVID got immunity. Immunity is an American. And we can go back to the Declaration of Independence and say, no, this idea of the king can do no wrong, you know, the king's word is the law. No, it's not. The American founders said in the Declaration, here's 27 examples of why we are authorized to take armed rebellion up against the king. They pointed out 27, they're holding the king responsible. And so we carried that into the Constitution. We wrote these impeachment clauses into the Constitution, where if somebody personally violates this, they can be held responsible and be brought up, you know, indicted, if you will, under the impeachment process and tried in the Senate, removed from office, and then they could be taken in criminal court and put in prison. You see, we say everybody has responsibility. And so if your chief of police is out there pushing for an authorization to use these robot killer things, whatever they're calling them, you say, no, we're not going to do that. We the people are not going to authorize that. We the people have to engage at every single level. Again, if it's an election that's being stolen, we must go in and change that. If they're taking land, that again, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, it defines specifically how much land is authorized to the general government. Read it. And you say,
let me stop you there. If 100 million Americans literally went berserk over this and said, you know what, this is insane. This president has lost his marbles. Impeach him now. Prosecute him for criminal intent. He has sworn an oath to the supreme law of the land. Now he's literally thumbing his nose at the law, thumbing his nose at the legislative body. And we were really to put pressure. It would stop tomorrow, doctor. But
well,
you know what? When nobody cares, there you go.
I don't. I mean, 100 million is a big number. People say, we'll never get that. But the whole American
revolution get that.
Thing,
well, hold on. We get that to watch a football game.
Yeah, you do on TV. But that's the thing. Like I say, bread and circuses distract us from everything. And that's by design, I believe. And anybody that's, and I'm sorry, guys, I'm going to really probably gore your ox right now. But if you spend your time in front of the boob tube watching your ball game, instead of sitting with your family, doing things with your family, worshiping your God, doing your civic duty, whatever you're ignoring when you're doing
serving
that,
others around you, the list goes on and on.
You're remiss. And I believe that we're accountable for every action that we take in this life. And again, I think God is a merciful God that understands you need to take time to sharpen the saw. But if that's all you're doing all the time is sitting on your butt watching the bread and circuses, you're letting this country go to hell in a handbasket, and it's your fault. That's the problem. I mean, we got to be that blunt. It's a personal engagement kind of thing. So I think that there are solutions. I mean, these bazillionaires that are giving the big money and buying the elections And Utah facilitated that stupidly with their, I mean, you and I's home state is Utah, and I'm ashamed to do it. I'm feeling like we ought to know better, but we don't act better. But where you set up laws that allow the big dollars to buy elections, when you set up, and Utah's guilty of this probably more so than most, where you set it up so that you can make sure the elections can be stolen by the powers that be. When you do all of these kinds of things and the people don't say, hold on, we're not going to put up with that, then the people are complicit. You know, this idea that we can't do anything. So the four things I was going to tell you to do, and I know our time's fleeing, but we really, first and foremost, have got to get right with God. If we're not right with God, and this is a very personal thing, and then you go to your family, you go to your circle of influence, whatever it takes, the Constitution was made only for a moral and a religious people. It's inadequate to the government of any other. That's what John Adams said. And so our virtue is really important. And I believe that we have had the hand of God upon this nation, and the Founding Fathers believed it. I can prove it, demonstrate it with their words. That they did from the very moment that they set foot on this continent. So if that's the first thing. We must turn our hearts to God. And if we won't, sorry, the rest of them really don't matter. And so the second thing is we've got to understand the founding principles of this nation in the tradition of the Founding Fathers, not in the bizarre, stupid, revisionist history kind of things. Oh, it's a living constitution. Really? So the words can mean anything you want. No, you've got to have read the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Federalist Papers. You've got to have read the Farewell Address of George Washington. You need to have read St. George Tucker's view of the Constitution. You need to get deep and wide on this thing. If you can't recognize if a law is constitutional or not, what does it matter? They can do anything they want. They can say, oh, yeah, well, the World Health Organization says we got to have these vaccine passports. No, they don't have any say on this at all. If you don't understand the baseline principles, you're lost. Then you've got to get involved. This is the third thing in the civic affair. You've got to be involved. Now, maybe everybody's not going to run for office like I have. I'm a three-time loser, okay? But I've been trying to use it as a message for them, a board, okay, to be able to bring people the word and the truth, okay? We have a foundation. We have a back trail. We can make it back. We've got to get involved in the civic affairs. I went to a town hall meeting this week. Sometime we'll maybe have to talk about what a disappointment that was. And maybe as I finish the third one, if you want to go on to that, we can talk about it. But we are held accountable before God in our acts in relation to government. So if we're making laws, we need good and wise and honest people that we get involved to help get elected. Again, you don't have to run particularly, but you help them get elected. And fourth, we got to make our influence known by our vote, our letters, our teaching, our advice. If you can get on a talk radio show and you can expound on these great, noble principles and do it in a articulate way, do it. Do it whatever way you can. But those four things we've got to do.
All right, why don't you go ahead and skip the break, gentlemen? All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Scott Bradley first. Listen carefully. Get right with and turn our hearts to God, number one. Number two, understand the founding principles of our nation in the traditions of our founding fathers. Number three, get involved. And number four, make our influence known in every way possible. Doctor?
Okay. So let me just talk for just a minute. I mean, Sam, I don't, it's kind of like I get on the horse and want to drive the horse the way I want it to go.
Well, I'm going to tell you about the Tesla CEO here in seconds, what he's going to do with his time and his influence in a second, because okay, it'll relate directly to the conversation at hand.
Well, for good or for ill, he is going to use his influence. But
oh, it's for ill. I'll tell you that right now. But
yeah, for sure. I said for good or for ill. So we need to understand where it's going.
But yeah, it'll make us ill. That's absolutely true.
Right. But the fact of the matter is, I went to a town hall meeting. Two state legislators were, they held a town hall meeting. One out of the House, one out of the Senate. And we were told, oh, you can come in and you can sound off. You can tell us what's on your mind, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, I went. And it was pretty well attended, actually. And I'm thinking, hey, wait a minute. Maybe somebody does care. You know, I walked in. My wife and I walked in. And what I was able to ascertain after being there, they told us we had an hour. They took the first 45 minutes telling us how great they were and what they were going to do in office this year. Because, see, in Utah, our legislature begins meeting in January, and so we're running up to that. And, of course, I took a moment or two, and that's about all it took to get together a list of things that I thought ought to be brought up. At any rate, so we get there. They spend 45 minutes telling us how they walk on water and they'll never do any wrong and all the great things they're bringing to us to make sure they get reelected next time, blah, 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 blah. And then people started throwing, I mean, we could see that we were moving up on the hour. People started throwing out questions. I sat there quietly and listened. And they were gimme, gimme, gimme. What's on the agenda for me to be able to reach into the goodie bag and grab it out? We weren't just talking about, well, I want to make sure we get a new traffic light on this intersection because my kids cross there and are going to get killed because they're on the way to school. Whatever. No, these were $100 million projects that these people were asking for. The sun, the moon, and the stars, it did not matter. Idiotic things like piping water from the Pacific Ocean to the Great Salt Lake to refill it. Are you kidding me? I mean, all of these things were on the table, and the senator and this member of the House of Representatives were there fielding these questions like, you know what, we're going to get to that. That's going to happen. Yeah, it just probably won't happen quite as fast as you want it to, but boy, oh man alive, it's on our list, and we're going to get to it. And it was just ticking off these $100 million projects. Everybody was reaching for more money. Everybody was reaching for a bigger piece of the pie or the brass ring or whatever. It came as I listened in the group, and they ended up going past their hours. And at the end of the next half hour, where they were really, truly shutting it down, I got my last statement in. And I don't need to, well, you guys have heard me kind of, you know, get wound up around the axle over things. But I told them very blatantly how disappointed I was in both the legislators as well as the people in the audience, that this was not the nature of the beast. And I talked about the proper role of government and how there were limits and bounds to it and the true purpose of government and the checks and balances and how there was nothing in this that said government is redistribution of wealth, no matter how glorious you thought your project was. You know, I kind of just, I laid it on. And it's really sad. The senator I have personally had in my home and spent a great deal of time trying to teach him the limits and bounds and checks and balances and purpose of government and all these kinds of things, and the state level and the general government level. And we've reviewed that extensively. And he says, well, I understand. We've talked. You know, this, yeah, we understand. But you know what? We're going to just do what we're going to do. And he basically, they tried to pour me back in the bottle. I rained on their parade. But the fact of the matter is, nobody was saying the message. Now, it turns out there was three people from England that were there. I mean, you could tell by their heavy English accents. They were on our side. They were on the side of limited government and keeping government from devouring our lives and things like that. And then there was my wife and I and one other guy. Everybody else was there for the grab bag of government. And unless and until we get to the point where our town hall meetings reflect this idea that government is not going to rule over us, it is the creature rather than the creator, and it must keep itself within the bounds established constitutionally. The consent of the governed said, we will be governed by these people that are limited and bounded by this. It was so disheartening. I talked after with one of the other guys I mentioned. He talked with the three people from Britain, and then he and I and my wife sat down and talked for a minute. But the rest of the people that were there were there for what can government give me, instead of how do we keep government from becoming a tyrant. And they wanted more, and I told them, I said, you guys are fools. You guys are fools. I says, I just paid my property tax, and it goes up every year. And you're voting for things that will cause additional burdens upon us and your children and grandchildren because you want your little favorite project.
And then you'll be so ignorant at the end when it becomes so egregious you can't stand it, you'll wonder what happened and why. And
well,
then
you'll be like,
angry at the bureaucrats who you influenced to behave this way in the first place.
Well, that's
right?
The problem. They'll leave California when it becomes such a tyranny that they can't even breathe without being taxed. And they'll go to Montana, or they'll go to Idaho, or they'll go to Utah, and they'll bring their miserable form of government with them. I mean, and I could tell you stories about people I've gone to them. I mean, after I've listened to them talk, and they've relocated, and they think, whoa, we've come to a place of this grand and glorious situation. I say, why did you move here? Why do you bring with you everything that you left that you hated? And can't you see that what you hated, you're trying to re-implement where you are now?
Well, what you hated, you've created.
Yeah, they created it in California, or they created it in Oregon, or they did in Washington. Now, there's some
exceptions,
obviously. Or Colorado,
or wherever.
Yeah.
Yeah, Colorado's kind of the next California, meaning it's the carryover more than any other state, and you see the liberal policies reflected.
You do, but Utah, I would say, is right on the cusp of that. You say, oh, no, not Utah.
It's not far behind at all.
Not far behind at all.
It's just not quite as blatant yet. In other words, a lot of the transformations are happening behind the scenes. What happens oftentimes when cities are destroyed by liberal policies and socialist agendas and such is you can't really see it because they got a good Band-Aid on it with the spending of money and et cetera, et cetera. It kind of delays the reality check. But then all of a sudden it bursts upon you like it does in San Francisco and in Oakland, California, and a lot of these places where, you know what, instantly overnight it's just like a wreck and everybody kind of wakes up and realizes it. Utah and even Colorado, they're on the brink. They're nice now, but I'm telling you right now, they'll be a wreck if it's allowed to continue unchecked in not many years, is the phrase I
would use. Did you hear that story about the new public toilets that they're doing in San Francisco? You know, that have broken down after 3 days.
Yeah, they're awesome. They had them on for like 3 hours and had to turn them off because it was a disaster meltdown.
But I saw one commentary.
But they're eco-friendly, buddy, so don't worry.
But this was so, I mean, it was like, what's wrong with San Francisco? They've got miles of public restrooms in San Francisco. Every city street is being used as a cesspool. That's the way it is. The human feces. I am shocked. I don't know if you've been in some of these big cities lately, like the Seattles and the Portlands and the San Franciscos.
I've been there.
Hey, I'm here to tell you, it reeks of human sewage. Now, the first time I ever, I took my wife and my youngest son.
Oh, yeah, and you've got tents right on the corner and everything, everywhere.
No, you're right. It's a homeless mecca. But the first time I ever took my wife and my youngest son to Tijuana, we walked across the border. I wanted them to get a sense of the ambiance, and it was palpable. As you walked across the border, the wretched sewage smell that hit you, the stench that hit your nostrils. Now, this was years and years and years ago, and that's what it's like now in large American cities. There is absolutely,
no question.
We have become a third world country in so many ways, and this is being exported to other states. I mean,
yeah, for sure.
And our,
at a
our
rapid rate, I might add.
It's absolutely. Our politicians are embracing it. They're tolerant. We want to have.
Well, and they love it because they live in their gated communities and their whatever else is. And so they're far removed from it. They're whisked by in their cars, driven by other people, and it goes on and on. But let me give you an example of this Tesla and Twitter CEO, Elon Musk.
Okay.
He pledged that he will receive a, quote, brain chip implant from his, quote, biotech company called Neuralink. He did so during an event Wednesday night, okay? He confirmed the promise on Twitter after the event, okay? So he's got these, brain chips, and one brain chip is supposed to be able to make blind people see, and another one, you know, they're supposed to do all these different things to help paraplegics move and all this kind of stuff. He demonstrated where the, you know, this monkey can move a mouse on a screen just by thinking, etc. And he pledged he's going to take the lead in this. We've talked about these brain implant chips for a long time. We've heard examples of people getting them. You know, somebody gets them in their hand and this and that. This is now where a big leader of a social media company, a big leader of the, you know, a lot of cars, you know, bear his leadership on them, etc., to the point where now this guy's literally blatantly going on TV and everywhere else and saying, hey, man, I'm going to do a brain implant chip. It's fine. My company, Neuralink, we've researched this. We're kind of the animals. And here we go, doctor. I don't know if I'm more afraid of Elon Musk and his chip or the robot that's going to kill me or the crap in the streets. I don't know how to respond to all this.
Well, your concerns I share.
Except the stand of God, family, and country.
Yeah. Well, no, we're trying to restore a focus of that. But the fact of the matter is I saw Elon Musk's position on this, and he says,
first off, the guy
can
hardly talk. I don't know if you realize that.
Well, he's from South Africa. Now, I'd say that with love because I've got some really good South African friends. But the point of the matter is, he says within 6 months we're going to be doing these human trials, human clinical trials in 6 months, and it's like, holy cow. Do you remember, maybe you don't, I don't know, my kids watched Ghostbusters was the name of it. And the little guy, Rick Moranis, I think was his name, that was the accountant at the end. You know, one of the characters says to him, you know, if you just taken, you know, part in what this huge, you know, event that happened in the spiritual, you know, fourth dimensional kind of realm, and we'd like to take some brain tissue samples. And Rick Moranis' character says, okay. And it's like, from the very moment I first heard that, when my kids were watching that, it was like, that's how stupid we are. Somebody wants to take some of your brain tissue, and you say, okay? I mean, are there any downsides to this? Does anybody think about it? He just, okay. And that's kind of where we are on this kind of thing. And you know, you say, oh, well, he says he's going to be able to help blind people see and maybe paraplegics walk and everything like that. And all of those are commendable kinds of things. But there's a dark side to it, if you will, like this dark money you talked about earlier. I'm very worried that...
it's a little darker than dark money, even, in my opinion.
It
this
is.
This is eugenics on steroids in your face.
And this idea of transhumanism that we hear so... Well, maybe some circles don't hear at all about it. But if you got your antennas up, you're hearing about an effort to kind of transition from the creature that God created to something that's that goes beyond and can be something.
Well, I got a question, though. I'm not very smart. What color is Elon?
Well, I mean, he's a Caucasian. You know, you say
so
white.
So how come they don't say he's a white supremacist in the eugenics movement then? Doesn't he realize he doesn't want to help paraplegics? His ideology as a eugenicist would be to get rid of the inferior people, right?
Well, it could very well be. I mean, and you would be shocked. I mean, your listeners really need to, they need to take some of these subjects and run with them on their own because it's so difficult to do a full exposition on some of these things. But eugenics has to do with basically improving the breed, if you will. You know, you talk about, oh, I've got a good breed of cattle and we're creating a superior strain of this or that or the other. Well, that's the whole idea behind eugenics, is doing it with the human race. And you would be shocked at who historically has been involved in that.
Well, people, eugenics paired with transhumanism, paired with...
Maybe.
And how come no one's attacking the Elon Musk white guy from South Africa, no less, involved in the eugenics movement, involved in the transhuman movement, involved in this idea that we're going to merge computers and people together in unique ways? How come no one's bringing this up? What is his agenda? Is his agenda to help me as a blind person? Or kill me because I'm not part of the, quote, master race? I'm flawed, right, doctor?
I know we got to close, but you bring up some interesting concerns.
Oh, man, you want to know why? Because this is Liberty Roundtable Live. Hour one in the can, hour two coming up. The good doctor's agreed to stay. FreedomsRisingSun.com is his website. Check it out. LovingLiberty.net is my nationally syndicated network. Check that out. And God save the Republic of the United States of America.